Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Trick Podcast of Joy and Gozo TV on this beautiful Monday morning, or I guess it's almost noon, actually, August 24th. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to this episode. Talking today about how to be true to yourself, regardless of the consequences. How to be true to your own goals and dreams and aspirations, regardless of the consequences. And what would that take? What would that do to your business, to your career, to your aspirations? Another way that I've been thinking about this is, what would 2021 look like if you were true to yourself in 2020? What would next year look like if you were actually living in your truth, walking by faith, not by sight, in 2020? And I want to walk you through a little bit of my own journey. Hopefully it'll help you. So before I get into that, I want to always acknowledge my virtual friend, and I have emailed with him a few times, Cliff Ravenscraft. Shout out to Cliff and the Audio Journal podcast that he has, as well as his public one called Just a Cliff Ravenscraft Show. Because as he and Ray Edwards were talking about today, Ray Edwards is another influencer that I follow, there was so much honesty in these two guys' lives, and they're both about my age, and they both are men of faith and very successful. They make $200,000-$400,000 a year, and I'm not really looking to make money per se, but I am looking to be more authentic, to get out from under the kind of little mess that I feel I'm in right now in terms of my career, my fitness, my education, some of these goals that I have that I don't feel like I'm accomplishing. And so, and then some of the hangups that I give into, anxiety and thinking that I'm losing my brain and thinking that I have some disease, you know, all those things that I have been honest about with you here. And I like listening to these guys, both Ray and Cliff, because Ray has Parkinson's disease and he's maybe in his early 50s, mid 50s, maybe he's closer to me. Cliff is a little younger. I think he's 48. I'm 51. So anyway, but we're all, you know, in the same general vicinity. So, and Cliff was almost 300 pounds about, what, 9 years ago, 8 years ago. So both of them have had significant challenges. And I don't think neither of them deal with anxiety, but that's my particular challenge. And so my point is that these men aren't perfect. And that's the good news, right? We don't have to be perfect. You and I don't have to be perfect to live authentically. So first, what are the things that I feel like I'm kind of in a bind in? As I said, I would say professionally, I don't feel like I am succeeding the way I expected to, and it definitely makes me second guess a lot of things about myself. Second is my fitness goals. Ever since I had some knee issues, I don't know, 5 years ago, I've been really just lazy, and plus, you know, being at midlife and all that kind of stuff that happens, your metabolism slowing down. All those excuses have come to my shores, and so I've gained weight, and I don't even feel like working out, which is, of course, the problem. And then my education goals, my master's degree. By now, I thought I would have a PhD. Instead, I'm still finishing my master's, which is my second master's degree. But there's just a lot of those things that I feel like I haven't accomplished yet. And so what does that tell me? Well, it tells me that something is wrong, that I'm not living out my true adventure. I am a man who's always lived out, as I've said many times, the ACL experience, you know, finding my God-given adventure, living, finding grace in the middle of crisis, and then discovering what you love. And for me, my adventure is to perform, is to influence thousands of people, which I'm not doing. Second is to find grace in crisis. And I would say this little crisis that I'm going through here, I don't know if I'm really finding grace. I think I'm feeling sorry for myself and giving into it. And then discovering what you love. Well, you know, I would say maybe that is the one that I do feel a lot of joy in. This year, just last week, actually, my beautiful wife, Rochelle, and I celebrated 25 years of wonderful married life. And maybe I'll do a whole episode on that, but I can't tell you how significant that was for me. I kind of felt it going into it, and I knew it. I was very nervous. I thought, wow, this is, you know, and it was not like, oh, we're old, or, oh, you know, you just hung in there for 25 years. You know, people can be sarcastic with 25 years, and I get it. It is a long time. But it's a real testament to the faithfulness of God, how hard we've worked, and really just how much we love each other. And so I celebrate that. But anyway, so ACL, love, L stands for love. I would say that I feel very successful in L. And I guess you could say that maybe that is the most successful part of my life, is our children, our balance. They both, all three of them, they love both of us, Rochelle and I. They love each other. They are all in college. They're all in very healthy relationships. They all work, making their own money, doing what they love to do. They respect us, honor us, listen to us. Of course, I mean, they have their own opinions and moments of rebellion, you know, within reason. And so maybe I would, and then on top of that, my mom is here. And so my mom, who I didn't have a chance to be with for almost 20 years now, has been here because of all this quarantine for, what, 8 months now? 6 months? She was only supposed to be here for 3. All that to say that the L part really is my success. But I want success when it comes to adventure, especially when it comes to music and my church. I want success over my crises, over fear and anxiety. And so here are my thoughts. Here's kind of what I'm doing to get out from under this little rubble here. Maybe it'll help you. When it comes to my adventure, let me actually start with a crisis. Anxiety, blah, blah, blah. I am going through a book called Biblical Deliverance that has really been helpful. I'm just beginning the book, but I've been watching a lot of the videos and content and downloaded some of the online training and really just got into Chester and Betsy, I forget their last name, Kilster. Just a beautiful couple in their 80s, perhaps, that have really changed my life. They really have given me a lot of insight into the demonic and generational pathology of, in my case, anxiety. You know, I see my mom being anxious. I have a sister who's also that way. So this is in our blood, right? It's genetic. It's in our system. In Spanish, we call it nervios. People don't use the word anxiety in Spanish. It's scary for them, especially people of faith. But of course, I use it all the time because that's what it is. And so whether it's nervios or anxiety, I've been dealing with this since I was really born. And it's gotten better, worse, manageable. I would say right now it's corona and all that stuff. I would say it's at a high level. I've managed it, but definitely I feel like it's gotten the best of me at times. But this book, Biblical Deliverance, has helped me tremendously. Other things that I fear, I'm managing them with the grace of God as best as possible. Yesterday, for example, we had a pretty big scare with Rochelle's family. Her parents are dealing with some health issues, and we had a 6 a.m. kind of that dreaded 6 a.m. phone call, and things are okay. We're not out of the woods yet, but they seem to be manageable, and things seem to be stable at the time. But I had to preach a message without my beautiful wife, without my mom. A lot of my support system was gone, and I had to do, two messages and sing 10 songs in 2 languages and all the stuff that I love, but I didn't have the support, so I felt myself getting upset at my kids, but I controlled myself. I prayed. In the middle of the services, we actually worshiped together. Before the first service, we prayed, and I felt really proud of myself for not doing the other stuff and instead trusting God. And then in the evening, our 3 beautiful kids were at the table. Maybe you saw the picture on my Instagram at David Trigg, and they were just processing the day. And I was thankful that we, Rochelle and I, had modeled for them trusting God, even in the middle of all this craziness, as they go back to school today. Today is their first day of high school, college, and so I'm really proud. And so that whole L thing, or maybe this is part of C, I feel like at least I'm in the game and fighting through some of those, quote, demons of fear and anxiety and anger and frustration. Now, when it comes to adventure or my job, my pursuits, being successful, I'm an Enneagram 3, so success is always what's natural for me. I've had success my whole life until really the last 10 years, and I sometimes beat myself up for leaving worship, but I had to, you know, I was done, and I had great success up until my early 40s, and then I jumped out of the worship ship and that net, that safety net, and it's been rough for these last 10 years, 11 years of being an administrator, basically a leader, you know, the head honcho, the lead pastor, the lead preacher, the lead communicator, all these things that I know are in my wheelhouse. I know they're gifts of mine. I didn't do this flippantly. I talked to a ton of people. I was affirmed by God many times. And yet I haven't found the success that I expected. In fact, I have found more failure than success. Tons of resistance, tons of people saying, you're no good at this, or we don't like your teaching, or your leadership sucks, or you're angry, or you're unstable. I mean, I've had a lot of opposition. And so one could say, well, shouldn't that tell you something? Well, here's the thing. At the same time, and this is something that I can honestly say, this has been God. He has delivered me every time from all those negative people. And for some reason, I don't know why, he still has me as a lead pastor at this stage of my life here in 2020, August 2020. And I can tell you out of my, from the bottom of my heart, that this is what I love to do. And this is what I was created to do. I'm imperfect, though, of course. I am more of a solo guy. I don't like to do the whole pastoral care thing and be that kind of typical, prototypical pastor who visits people in the hospital. I do it, but my natural instinct is to create, is to accomplish, is to do great things and to rally a group of people that are committed to that vision, committed to each other, committed to me and to each other to accomplish great things in the world. In this case, to blow this church up. I mean, to have it blow up as in thousands of people. I want to be like the river, like Cottonwood, like these mega churches that serve the poor, that love the immigrant, that love cross-cultural generations, multi-generations, multicultural cultures, and that my team and I can be in the middle of it, trusting God and just seeing him do great things in LA County and in all of California and really worldwide, in Latin America and Africa, Europe, wherever God may send us. I don't see myself going anywhere, meaning traveling. I feel like my ministry is to the local church, and not only to lead and speak, but also, of course, to sing. I feel like that is a huge part of who I am. It's always been a part of me. And I know that my platform maybe isn't great or large, but I know that it's real. And whether it's music or communicating, I believe that that is what I'm supposed to do with my life. And I've been, as I said, confirmed and affirmed in that many times. Now, I'm definitely affirmed more in my singing than my preaching. But, you know, I have this dichotomy in my head somehow. It's almost this internal conflict of I need to be better at the thing that I want the most, meaning communicating. I want to get more compliments for my preaching than my singing, which is never going to be the case. I mean, I'm just a high-end musician. And preaching, I'm new to it. I mean, I've only been speaking regularly for maybe 6 years, which you would think is a long time, but compared to 45 years of singing and becoming a professional musician, I probably will never be, and I don't want to say that. I was going to say I'll never be blah, blah. No, it's just I'm still a work in progress, as I am in music. And so, but I have both. I have these two, maybe three, maybe I have nothing really, gifts, but as far as I know, God tends to or seems to use me when I help people, when I communicate, when I sing, when I coach people. But it hasn't been successful. I have a small church. We've been through a ton of struggles. But yet God, I guess as I mentioned earlier, continues to vindicate his calling upon my life, continues to bless me and to call me and to give me opportunities. We're literally remodeling our church as we speak, a church of 30, 40 people. Because of blessings and financial opportunities, we are remodeling our church I mean, what a gift. And I get to be in the middle of it I feel like I am so new at leading, certainly remodels. I mean, even though I've done a few in our homes, but you know, this is a church remodel. And so what I do is I call a ton of people that are amazing and experts. And so like any smart leader, if you don't know what you're doing, then you call someone who does. And so that's what I've been doing. And so I think things are going well. Of course, at times I feel very insecure about myself and decisions that I make, and I wonder, man, why did I decide that? Or I should have done this, I shouldn't have. I mean, but I think that's normal. But I continue to persevere. And so in the area of adventure, you know, thinking again of ACL and of professional success, I am not there. I am not there. Same with my fitness or my schooling goals. I did do a few things with school to kind of get back on the horse here this fall. We'll see. I mean, literally, I think signups begin today. So I am hoping to find the strength and the motivation to do that. As far as fitness, you know, I do feel more encouraged. I played basketball last week. I've been going for walks, which I really can't stand. I love to run, but my knee is just, ugh. Although I should just try to run more often, even with my knee problems. Basketball I like. I have this coach that she hasn't been able to help me for 3-4 years, there for all the weight gain, plus this year. Excuses, of course, on my end, but maybe we'll get together again this fall, even with all this crazy virus stuff. And let's not forget, I mean, this virus for us empaths and feelers and, I mean, anxious types, it's been hard. All the way from, oh, I'm dying, or I have this cough, you know, all the typical stuff, all the way to, okay, everything's fine, and let's just go out there and kick some butt and conquer the world. I mean, it's just up and down. And I listen to a ton of other empaths and creative types online, and this is just how it is to be a feeler and to be a visionary, creative, and an empath, as I said. You know, I am a 3-wing 4, so I have these kind of this tension within me of wanting to succeed, and yet sometimes my feeling, like I wrote this song, my feelings get in the way. And sometimes I think that's okay, because otherwise I might burn myself out, and I almost did that in many ways. I almost ruined our marriage because I was working so much, wanting to be the feather in everybody's cap, and by the grace of God, God brought me back home to focus on my beautiful wife and 3 children so that we can here today feel the way we feel, as I mentioned at the beginning. That's been my greatest success. And I think another thing with being a 3 or an Enneagram 3 is I sometimes feel like I'm not being honest. I'll say yes to things that are not really things I wanted to do, I want to do. Other times I say yes to things that I really want to do, but I default on my, you know, it's like self-sabotage. I don't really go all out for them. For example, again, I love music. I've recorded or written 1,000,000 songs. None of them are recorded. I think I have maybe 6 of them out there. 6, okay, out of hundreds. And maybe half of them are any good. But even if I only have 50 good ones, I mean, 6 out of 50, I should have 50 songs out there. And I start the process, and then I just lose steam. I just get discouraged, or I just get lazy, or I just give in to my fear or my anxious thoughts. This year, of course, has been rough, as I said. But anyway, I think that's another area where I need to make more progress and really focus. But as I was saying, the idea of focus has been so hard for me this year. Brain fog and anxiety, it's just really been just, it's really been bothering me. My brain, my focus has been all over the place. You know, this whole thing with this virus has cost a lot of, as I said, emotional pain. And I've had to react to so many things, take our whole church online overnight. And by the grace of God, that's what I was doing already. But that was crazy. And then sustaining that, and then figuring out ways to still lead and to show up in the world. And then, oh no, this and that and the news and the vaccine. And it's been a whirlwind, like for all of us worldwide. And I haven't found my groove yet. And I don't know if we ever will again. I hope by the grace of God that we will find our way again as a world human race. I don't know if 2021 will be any different. So I don't know. I think we have to find our way now, right? Even though I feel like we're all carrying a big weight on our shoulders. I have friends that deal with physical issues. They're not mental, but they're physical. Others deal with their husbands and their problems. Others are dealing with more practical things like finances and money. For me, they're more mental and emotional. Everyone is dealing with something. Other people, maybe it's conflict with other people, and so there's frustration there. For me, it's none of those. For me, it's, well, meaning it's not those others, it's mental stuff. It's my mental health. It's my fear, my anxiety, and not giving in to those things, which I think I'm doing okay in. Maybe a C, C plus. Maybe some days I'm even as high as a B, B minus. And that's okay. I'm not judging myself to be better than I am. I'm okay. I'm giving myself a lot of grace. Recording these podcasts, doing live streams, letting go of how many people watch me or follow me, or how many people watch my stream on Sundays. You know, I used to be really, really hung up on that, but I've surrendered that to Jesus. My faith has been strong, praying, loving my wife, being with her, supporting her through all of her ups and downs as a first, second year principal. And then, of course, as I said, all the things with her parents. I feel like I have been, by the grace of God, right next to her and truly a partner to her, just like she is to me. What is next? Well, some exciting things. Things that I can say that have been godsends. I have a friend, Emodio. Shout out to my friend, Emo, who's a musician, fellow musician, pastor. Out of the blue, I think it was maybe January, February of this year, he walked into church by a friend who brought him, and I got to know him. And now we're playing in front of our church every Friday night, doing little concerts, impromptu concerts, and it's just so wonderful. As night falls and it's 7-8 o'clock, and you know, we're all socially distancing, blah blah blah, but I get out there with two loudspeakers, hopefully the cops won't shut us down or the neighbors, and I just get to sing into a microphone, and it goes out to thousands of people, whoever's listening. Literally, I had someone that knows me, she said, I guess she was outside of her apartment, and she said, I heard someone singing, and I thought it was my neighbor's TV, and then I realized it was you. I could hear you reverberating through the blocks around the church. And so she came out and listened in. It was just a dream come true. I want thousands of those stories, and I know that that's who I am and how God created me to be. And then as I was singing, I was ministering, praying, and sharing the gospel with people, it's my dream come true. And then I would love to see those people in church where I can then coach and teach and preach and have a team and grow this thing and blow the church up, as I said, in a good way. That's what's next for me, is to do those Friday night things. And of course, the live streams on Sundays, these podcasts here. I have a couple other things that I'm doing, but I would say the things that I love the most is performing, is Sundays, my streams, because we have a little audience there that listens in every week, including my family, which I love so much. A shout out to my familia, Trigueros Morales Gutierrez. And of course, on Fridays, being able to. And then on Fridays, also once a month, our beautiful son and I and my friend Joel, we go out to another church here in the area, Orange County. And we play at this church that's a little bigger, and they have cool tech. And, you know, it's just fun to play through a nice speaker system. So that's also very nice. And my dream would be to one day actually host a concert of my songs in that facility. So, but in the meantime, we're just doing what we can. At times I feel distraught and like I'm losing my perspective, and my brain fog and my ailments get the best of me. Other times, or I get upset or angry, I say the wrong things, or I'm being too emotional, or I bring my wife down too much. Other times I feel amazing, like God is faithful. Well, he's always faithful, but you know, my awareness of that he's faithful, and we're remodeling the church and we're fixing things and singing on Fridays and blah, blah, blah. Which one is true? Both. Both are true. And that's probably how we all feel. And this year has only brought this out to the surface, and we have to deal with it. So how? Well, I think, as I always say, it's worship. Worship. We have to worship our King and Savior. Connect with people. Listen to good input like Gozo TV. Stay away from politics and the news and all these horrible things that are out there that destroy the soul. I think all those things, love, discipline, exercise, eating healthy, I'm trying to avoid eating late and exercise more, eating more greens and more smoothies and more healthy juices and just taking care of my body. We all have to do that. It's not just one thing. And then to dream, to dream. I have so many dreams and some things that are in the works, or at least possibly in the works, that are really exciting to me, that I'm saying, Lord, yes, Lord, do it in your time. God, I will be faithful. I will wait. As the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord, who? Those who what? Wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will rise up with wings as eagles. I want to leave you with that, my dear friend. Wait on the Lord, but rise up. He's going to raise you up. He lifts me up. He'll raise you up. So those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will rise up. Rise up, my dear friend. Where are you at? Are you in the waiting mode, or are you in the rising mode? So the only two places you can be. You can be in fear, you can be in anger, you can be in shame. You have to live in either waiting on God or rising as an eagle. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you share this broadcast with your friends. Like, comment, subscribe. Hit that bell notification on YouTube, on the podcast app. Make sure you give me a 5-star review. Thanks so much for being here, and I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.